أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين. ولا تقولوا قتلوا في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون. ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. صدق الله العظيم.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. الحمد لله. Hafidh Naeem recited the verses from Surah Al-Baqarah that were revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during an extremely distressful time. They were revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the aftermath of the Battle of Uhud. And we all have some idea about what occurred exactly in the Battle of Uhud and how tragic it personally was for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But just to be able to kind of revisit that and to be able to understand and appreciate the gravity of that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that day, he suffered the loss of many of his nearest and dearest companions. These were people that the Prophet ﷺ had invested 15 years into. They were the product of 15 years of effort and struggle and du'as and struggling by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And amongst them, obviously, were also very near and dear family members of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was not only killed, but then his body was mutilated. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw the body of Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it struck him so severely that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum say that we saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have like a visceral physical reaction to seeing the body of Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu was one of the younger of amongst his siblings, and one of the older amongst his siblings, amongst the children of Abdul Muttalib. Hamza was one of the more younger ones. He was only 2 years older than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so they grew up like brothers. And one of the more older children of Abdul Muttalib was actually the mother of Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awam radiallahu anhu, whose name was Safiya, Ammatu Rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Safiya radiallahu anha. And because Hamza was one of the younger children of Abdul Muttalib, he was basically practically raised by Safiya. She was like a mother to him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, do not let your mother come and see her Hamza in this condition. And when she heard the news, as the Prophet ﷺ expected, she prepared a kafan, a shroud, and she started walking her way towards the battlefield of Uhud. And Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu stopped her and said, no, you should not go. And she said, I've heard what they did to my brother. I've heard the news. And so I've brought something to cover his body with, and move out of my way. And he tried to keep stopping her, and she shoved him aside and she said, get out of my way. And as she started to walk by him, then he finally resorted to his last effort, and he said, the Prophet ﷺ has asked you not to go. And when she heard that, she stopped right where she was. She immediately just froze. She turned around and she handed the sheets to him, and she said that, go and take care of my brother. And eventually the Prophet ﷺ, when Zubayr told him about the interaction that he had had with his mother, the Prophet ﷺ then did permit her to be able to come after they had kind of covered his body. And she came and she said, Asbir wa ahtasib, I am patient and Allah will reward me for this tragic loss of mine. And in the aftermath of all of this heartache and all of this devastation, Allah revealed these verses upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. That O you who believe, seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through patience and prayer. And I was talking about this just yesterday in another gathering, that a lot of times when we talk about sabr, patience, we actually shortchange the meaning of sabr by simply translating it as patience. Sabr also has the meaning of somebody really digging their heels into the ground. Because a lot of times patience has this meaning that we just lie down and then take everything lying down. But in actuality, the word sabr in the Arabic language, and that's how it's used in the Quran, it also contains the meaning of somebody digging their heels into the ground and standing firm and not relenting and resisting and continuing to resist and refusing to budge, refusing to move. And so when Allah is saying, seek the help and the aid and the assistance of Allah through sabr, Allah is saying that stay on course. Part of how you will attract the help and the mercy of Allah is by staying the course, by staying firm. Was-salah. and then continuing to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah ma'as sabirin, and indeed Allah is with those people who stand strong and stand firm, who are resilient. I've especially felt in this context always that the better translation of sabirin and sabr is resilience. And the sabirin here in these verses is actually describing people that are extremely resilient. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that do not say about the people who were killed in the way of Allah that they are just simply dead. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ. Rather, they are alive. And the hadith of Sahih Bukhari, in the tafsir of these ayat, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that the souls of the martyrs are placed within these beautiful green birds in the highest levels of paradise under the shade of the throne and the arsh of Allah. And they fly around in paradise wherever they'd like, whatever they'd want to do. And they continue to just live this life of enjoyment and bliss and happiness, awaiting the day of judgment when everyone will be resurrected and then their souls will be restored to their earthly bodies. And when their souls will be returned back to their earthly bodies, they've been alive and living and enjoying paradise this entire time. When their bodies are when their souls are restored, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant the martyrs a very particular distinction. And at first when you hear it, it's a bit jarring. But it ultimately, it is the ultimate badge of honor. And the distinction that Allah will grant them is, when they are resurrected on the day of judgment, their wounds will be with them. The wounds that they suffered in the way of Allah, they will show those wounds. Their wounds will be open, they'll be fresh, the blood will be coming out of those wounds. And it sounds a bit jarring. It sounds almost like a, you know, kind of a disservice. Why are they going to be like, you know, showing those wounds that were inflicted upon them? But it will be the ultimate badge of honor. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything, but Allah will ask them in front of all of the creation, all of humanity, أمام الخلائق كلها. Allah will ask them in front of all of the human beings, من أولهم إلى آخرهم, that what happened to you? What is this? And they'll respond by saying, Ya Rab, oh Allah, I suffered this in your way. This was done to me because of what I believed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then announce in front of all of the creation that you made this sacrifice, and in exchange of that, you will have paradise. And they'll be granted entry into Jannat al-Firdaus, the highest stages of paradise, before, in front of all of humanity, before even the reckoning begins, and before anyone else has any opportunity of anything. They'll be entered into paradise ahead of everyone else. And that's why Allah says, وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. That in this world, and the way that this world works, and how limited the minds of people are in this world, when people are killed, when people's lives are taken unjustly, that a lot of times people perceive them to be the ones who lost in this situation. The world perceives them, plainly put, the world perceives them to be the losers. And that's why Allah is saying, وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. You just don't realize. You have your math all wrong. But these are the people that have attained the ultimate status and the ultimate distinction and honor. And that's how we reflect on the people that were taken. Now going forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the lesson that you have to take from them. And actually, before I even go forward, I wanted to mention just a couple of things. There are remarkable things. There's this beautiful book that's written on the history of Al-Madinatul Munawwara that actually the author talks about that when he was a child, there were these terrible storms and floods in that region of Medina. And it led to some of the bodies of the martyrs in Uhud becoming uncovered. All the ground was washed away. And he talks about this eyewitness account that when they saw the bodies of the shuhada of Uhud, they were still fresh as the day that they were buried. And that was their honor and distinction granted to them by Allah. Now going forward, Allah says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ. A lot of times, and of course, we oppose the injustice. And we pray against the oppressors, and we pray for the oppressed, and we don't want this to happen. But Allah is also telling us that this is also the law and the rule that Allah has set down in this dunya. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ. We will test you with this fear. وَالْجُوعِ, starvation, hunger. وَنَقْسِمْ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. And a decrease in wealth and in life and then in fruits. And I explained this before as well, that Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he actually explains that Allah has already talked about that he will decrease your property. So the crops are already included within that. Allah already said that you will suffer starvation. The loss of crops is already addressed there. This thamarat is actually referenced in an authentic narration at Tirmidhi, in which the Prophet ﷺ tells us that when the soul of a child is taken, that when the angel of death goes before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah asks the angel of death, and of course the hadith says that Allah knows everything, but Allah asks the angel of death, أَخَذْتَ ثَمْرَةَ قَلْبِهِ. You took away the fruit of the heart of my servant. ثَمْرَةُ الْقَلْبِ. لِيَنَّ الْوَلَدَ ثَمْرَةُ الْقَلْبِ. The child is the fruit of the heart of the parents. It's an expression in the Arabic language, like we say, the apple of one's eye. The most precious thing in the world is a child. And Allah says to the angel of death, you took away the most precious thing in the world to my servant, his child. He says, yes, Ya Rabbi, it was your will. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announces that let them know that because of this sacrifice, they will all be reunited in Jannah. They'll all be reunited in paradise. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the good news is for those that are resilient in the face of all of this difficulty and adversity. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ. That when they are afflicted with a terrible calamity, قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. They say to Allah, do we belong, and to Him are we all returning. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ. Those are the people, Allah showers His special blessings upon them and His mercy upon them. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. And those are the people that are rightly guided. I wanted to emphasize three things here tonight. Number one, by sharing these particular verses, I wanted to remind myself, renew my perspective, that the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of our brothers and sisters whose lives have been taken, who have been killed, who have been murdered in Gaza and beyond, that they are shuhada, that they are martyrs. And this is what Allah tells us about the status and the level and the distinction of the martyrs. And it's a very important reminder that we all need to have, that we understand their status with Allah, and we are able to find at least some modicum of comfort in the fact that they are honored and distinguished with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they have attained the highest status that any member of this ummah can ever achieve, and that is the status of the shuhada, the martyrs. The second thing I wanted to emphasize was that while we remind ourselves of this, we also don't sit there and then kind of wallow in just sadness and misery and pain. But those that are left behind have a responsibility upon us. When the daughter of Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu was still in Mecca, and they wanted to bring her back to Medina, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, Zayd ibn Haritha, they were all debating and arguing with each other about who would have the honor of taking care of the daughter of Hamza radiallahu anhu. They understood their job and their responsibility to those that are left behind. That we have a job to do. We are their family. When the Prophet ﷺ was coming back from the Battle of Uhud, having buried his uncle, who had been mutilated horrifically, the Prophet ﷺ sees a boy, Al-Bashir. He sees him, and he's crying because his father has died, has been killed, was a martyr in Uhud. And he sees him crying, and the Prophet ﷺ stops his animal, and he lifts him up and picks him up and puts him on the animal with him. And then he holds him and hugs him until he stops crying, calms him. And then he says to him, أَمَا تَرْضَى أَنْ أَكُونَ أَنَا أَبَاكَ وَعَائِشَ أُمَّكَ. Don't worry, you're not alone. I'll be your father, Aisha will be your mother. And then he ordered all the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and some of the other boys that were standing there waiting for their fathers and brothers to come back, but they were all buried in Uhud. The Prophet ordered those Sahaba that pick up these children and comfort them and take care of them. They are our responsibility. There's that sense of family. That we can't just use the lip service that we are a family, we're an ummah. But we have to have that real concern and do whatever is in our capacity to continue to speak against the oppression, push back against the oppression, donate, contribute, and whatever other means there is to help and aid and assist. But we have to stay committed. It's our job. It's our responsibility. It's not just something that we look at, oh, these doctors, they, mashallah, they went to Gaza, very nice, and we clap for them, and it's good that they did that. But it's our collective responsibility to constantly concern ourselves with what we can do. When the Prophet ﷺ had barely completed burying Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Prophet ﷺ across the field, he saw Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His father had been killed in Uhud, Shaheed. And he saw Jabir, and Jabir was crying. He's barely 18, 19 years old. He's a young man. He had 7 little sisters. His father was like his best friend. He was his eldest child. So they were very close. And he saw him crying, destroyed, devastated. His whole life, his whole world had been turned upside down. And the Prophet ﷺ put his own pain on hold. And he walked across the battlefield. And he went there and he just went and he just hugged Jabir. And Jabir cried on the shoulder of the Prophet ﷺ and cried and cried and cried. And the Prophet ﷺ just held him and let him cry his heart out. And then he told him, he said, why do you worry? He said, you know, your father's soul, from the moment your father fell in the battlefield, Allah sent angels from the heavens to cover your father's body with their wings so even the sunlight would not hit his body. Do you know your father's soul, when it was presented before Allah, Allah asked your father's soul that if I give you another opportunity, what would you do? And he said, I would give my life for you again. If I gave you another opportunity, what would you do? I would give my life for you again. If I gave you another opportunity, what would you do? I would give my life for you again. And he said that 100 times over. Fast forward even a few years later, one time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting. He had received a gift from Yemen. And it was this cloak, and it had a very nice border, very beautiful cloak. And the Prophet ﷺ was wearing it when he gave the khutbah, Jumu'ah. And after Jumu'ah, some of the young men of the Sahaba, they came up and they started. They used to be so friendly with the Prophet ﷺ. They came up and they started touching it. And they started saying, wow, this is really nice. And they were touching it and checking it out. And the Prophet ﷺ saw Jabir in the corner. And he could tell that he was sad. He was probably missing his dad. And the Prophet ﷺ immediately said, he goes, you think this is nice? And they said, yeah. And he said it kind of loudly. You think this is nice? And they said, yeah. He said, you know what's nicer? They said, what? He said, the handkerchief of Jabir's father in Jannah is better than this cloak. Just constantly comforting. It's our job. When they were on their way back to Medina and Jabir was sad and his head is hung and he's riding his camel, the Prophet ﷺ knows he has a lot of responsibility. How is he going to take care of this whole family by himself? He's a young man. He's a barely a man. He's a kid. He's a teenager. The Prophet ﷺ said, MashaAllah, your camel's very good. He said, Hiya laha ya Rasulullah, you can have it. He said, no, I didn't say that. I said, it's very good. How much would you sell it to me for? He goes, it's yours. He said, no, don't do that. Then he asked another sahabi, how much does this camel sell for? He said, 2,000 dirham. The Prophet ﷺ said, I'll buy it from you for 4,000 dirham. He said, it's yours, O Messenger of Allah. He said, 4,000 dirham. So what are you going to do? You don't argue with the Prophet. So he said, sami'na wa ta'na. Like, what are you going to do? So when they got back to Medina, the Prophet ﷺ said, okay, bring the camel. So when he brought him, the Prophet ﷺ gave him the 4,000 dirham and said, just leave the camel outside. And a little while later, the Prophet ﷺ called one of the Sahaba and he said, you see the camel that's outside? He said, go drop it off at Jabir's house and tell him that it's a gift from me. Because it was his job. Because he understood that. When the news came from Mu'tada, Ja'far bin Abi Talib, who was like a little brother to the Prophet ﷺ, Ashbahta khalqi wa khuluqi. He said, you're just like me. You look like me, you walk like me, you talk like me. Ja'far was so beloved to the Prophet ﷺ. His cousin, he was like a little baby brother to him. And when Ja'far was shaheed in Ghazwa Mu'ta, and the Prophet ﷺ heard that his wife is very distraught, Asma bint Abi Umais, the Prophet ﷺ went over to their home and he sat down and he said that he told her, he said that, you know, Ja'far is in paradise. Allah gave him, because she had heard the news that they had butchered him in the battlefield, the enemy. And she said, and the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah gave Ja'far wings. And he's flying around in paradise. That's why I call him Ja'far al-Tayyar. And she said, O Messenger of Allah, I have no doubt about that. That's not why I'm sad. I'm sad because of these boys. She had 2-3 little boys. She said, they lost their father. Who's going to look after them? The Prophet ﷺ said, I will. Then he called them over and he put them in his lap. And they were little boys. So their hair was all over the place. And so the Prophet ﷺ said, you got something? And she said, yeah. And he fixed their hair. Sitting there. Can you imagine this picture? The Prophet ﷺ is sitting there, combing and brushing their hair. Fixing them up. And he fixed them up and he said, look how beautiful they look. Look how beautiful they are. It's our job. It's our job. And so that's the second point I wanted to make, that we have to remain committed. We have to stay the course, the resilience. And the third thing that I wanted to mention and emphasize, and we'll put this into practice and act on this here. And that is, the third thing is that we continue to make dua. So we have the correct perspective. We remain hopeful. We continue to put in the work. And then we continue to make dua. And so inshallah we'll end and conclude with a dua. And I'll offer a short dua. And inshallah just, you know, start sending salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Be in the right state of mind and in the right frame of mind. And that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the acceptance of our duas and our prayers here tonight. الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم والحمد لله رب العالمين. نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم. لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته، ولا هما إلا فرجته، ولا دينا إلا قضيته، ولا مريضا إلا شفيته، ولا ضالا إلا هديته، ولا ميتا إلا رحمته، ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا أرحم الراحمين. O Allah, have mercy upon the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, aid and help the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, all of our brothers and sisters, all the innocent people who have been lost, who have been killed, who have been murdered, O Allah, count them amongst the shuhada. Grant them the highest levels in Jannat al-Firdaws al-A'la. Place them in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Nabiyeen, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada, the Salihin. O Allah, those that remain behind, O Allah, grant them strength and thabat. Grant them conviction and strength in the face of such brutality and adversity. O Allah, give them the resilience and the strength they need to continue. O Allah, defeat the oppressors and remove them from the oppressed. O Allah, remove the oppressors and deal with them swiftly and justly. O Allah, forgive us for our shortcomings. Forgive us for our negligence. O Allah, forgive us for our laziness. O Allah, forgive us for not fulfilling our responsibility. O Allah, allow us to be a part of the means of bringing relief and victory to our brothers and sisters. O Allah, grant them victory, grant them dignity, grant them honor, grant them peace, grant them tranquility. Ya Rabbil Alameen. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Inshallah, please everyone take your time, as much time as you would like, but inshallah on your way out, there's some chai that is being sold in the foyer in the lobby area, and all the proceeds are a part of our fundraising campaign for Gaza. Alhamdulillah. The seminary students, the Bloom children, the entire community here at Qalam has been working very diligently about raising funds and awareness about what's going on in Gaza. So inshallah, the chai that's being sold is also contributing to that. So please inshallah, partake of that and participate in that. Jazakumullah khairan. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.